Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Paul Lancour, in for Rachel Miro. California's birth rate is at its lowest since the Great Depression. The Sacramento Bee reports the Department of Health data released this month show the number of children born in the state was 512,000 in 2010, down 3% from 2009 and 10% from 2007. Economic conditions are a likely factor in the downturn. Numbers also show that Latinos are leading the change. Although their birth rate is still higher than the general population, the decline in Latino births is twice that of other ethnic groups. In addition to the federal loan guarantees that are coming under much public scrutiny, Solyndra also received tax breaks from the state of California, and it looks like the program that set up those tax breaks will continue with minor modifications. State Treasurer Bill Lockyer defended the program at a hearing in Sacramento yesterday. He proposed changes to reporting requirements, but spoke out against a financial viability test for companies applying. Solyndra, the Fremont-based solar company, filed for bankruptcy protection last month after receiving $535 million in U.S. loan guarantees from the Energy Department. After a journey of nearly 5 years, California regulators today will formally adopt the nation's most comprehensive cap-and-trade system for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Climate Watch senior editor Craig Miller has been following the long road home.
Today is when the Air Resources Board finally turns the key on the state's program to cap total carbon emissions from California industry and allow firms to trade those limited pollution rights with each other in a brand new market. It's a process that Board Chair Mary Nichols describes as
complicated, perhaps like moving a very large army a few feet in one direction.
The direction is toward getting California's carbon footprint dialed back to what it was in 1990. Cap and trade won't deliver the biggest chunk of those reductions, but it's the centerpiece of the state's ambitious 2006 climate law known as AB 32, and by far the piece that has created the biggest fuss. Last year, industry went to the mat with the failed Prop 23 campaign, claiming that cap and trade would be a job killer.
What do we want? When do we want it?
Now.
And has so far survived a major legal challenge from environmental justice groups. Doubts and concerns still linger among industry and environmental groups, but by this week, environmentalists like Dan Kalb were closing ranks behind the plan.
This is an historic moment.
Kalb is the chief California lobbyist for the Union of Concerned Scientists, which had been openly critical of some aspects of the plan, in particular, that it allows for too many offsets, the ability of a company to comply in part by donating to carbon-reducing programs elsewhere.
We recommended that they pull back on offsets and limit those, but what they decided to go forward and giving it a shot and trying them. We're skeptical, but let's still move forward and test it out.
Kalb and Nichols both say there's still tweaking room in the regulation, both before it goes into effect and even after.
No one says that this is the perfect solution or that this is a perfect program. We have to put this in place and then monitor it and adjust as necessary and get it right.
And assuming that California gets it right, the Air Board's Nichols says it will put the state out in front in addressing a problem that isn't going away.
The climate has not stopped changing, and the world is still heating up, and emissions keep going up, and we keep seeing evidence piling up, really, of the effects. So I think that the topic of climate is going to be back on the agenda again. When that happens, California will be there offering a model that we think will be useful.
Right now, that model is set to hit the runway late next year and go through several expansion phases through the rest of this decade. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
Newly filed campaign reports by candidates for Congress are replete with the usual information about donors and expenses. But some of the reports by prominent California Democrats include an unusual notation, a, quote, adjustment for embezzled funds. Politicians across the state are reeling from charges that a prominent Democratic operative stole millions of dollars from their campaigns. The California Report Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has more.
Kendi Durkee worked as a professional campaign treasurer for almost 40 years. Investigators believe the Long Beach woman had oversight of some 400 campaign bank accounts. And yet no one seems to know why those accounts are missing millions of dollars of campaign cash or what Durkee did with it.
Been working with what we thought was a very trusted, professional treasurer, then to be told by the FBI that she was a thief.
That's Assemblymember Jose Solorio, a Democrat from Orange County, who hired Kendi Durkee on the advice of other prominent politicians. In September, Durkee was arrested after a state and federal investigation found some $677,000 missing from Solorio's campaign account.
We're now going to have to work with the courts to settle out, you know, how much money is there and who gets what. And it's quite a mess.
And it's a mess on a number of levels, regardless of the outcome in the criminal case against Kendi Durkee. Her first court appearance was scheduled for this week, but has been delayed until December. No one knows for sure how much money is missing, but it could be in the tens of millions of dollars. Political groups often relied completely on Durkee's accounting firm for information about their finances.
They had full control over their banking. We didn't even know what our checking account number was.
Dennis White is with the Riverside County Democratic Committee and testified at a recent hearing of the state's Fair Political Practices Commission, which investigates campaign violations. Democrats are now not only short on cash, but facing dilemmas on how to replace it. After all, there are limits on how much a given donor can contribute to state and federal candidates, and many of the dollars came from donors who, by law, have maxed out, which is why some campaigns want a do-over. Stephen Kaufman, a Democratic campaign attorney from Los Angeles, suggested at a recent hearing of the Fair Political Practices Commission that money illegally diverted before reaching a candidate may not even count as a contribution.
There's a very good argument that they should be allowed to go back to those donors and raise those, you know, funds again.
But to do so would require action on both federal and state levels, an uphill battle at best. The money that does actually still exist has been frozen. The main bank used by campaign treasurer Kendi Durkee has turned over money from hundreds of campaigns to the courts. That bank is now being sued by the most prominent politician who lost money, Senator Dianne Feinstein. Neither Durkee nor her attorney have spoken about the allegations. Meantime, candidates are back out raising money. Assemblymember Jose Solorio held a Sacramento fundraiser this week. He's one of the lucky ones. His race for the state Senate is 2 years away. Some politicians with depleted campaign accounts are up for election as soon as November 8th. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
That's the California Report for Thursday, October 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Paul Landcor. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URScorp.com.